The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for coming by the show. If you've been listening to us all November, you have been listening to a number of different topics that I've been focusing in, one on veterans. November to me has been the big month. Of course, we had Veterans Day. We had Marine Corps birthday. We had a number of different things that's going on during the month of November that's related to military and veteran issues. And today is not going to be any different. We're going to stay on top of veteran affairs for the rest of the month of November and almost going into December, because this is an important issue that we need to stay on top of. Today, we're going to be talking about veteran employment, but we're going to be talking about it from a perspective of kind of looking at what has been going on and kind of analyzing it and looking at the research to see how effective have these jobs missions and corporations getting involved in terms of hiring veterans. How has that been effective? Is the program working? And today we're going to be talking about that. There's a program, there's a study that has been recently produced called the Veteran Employment Lessons from the 100,000 Jobs Mission that just came out, that was produced by RAND. And J.P. Morgan Chase and RAND teamed up to really analyze what's been going on with the 100,000 Jobs Mission. And today we're going to be talking about that. I have two special guests with me. I've got Maureen Casey. She's the Managing Director of the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs for J.P. Morgan Chase. Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you so much, Derek. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
My pleasure. And then we also have Margaret. Is it Margaret Harrell?
It's Harrell.
Harrell. Okay, so I got the Harrell. So Margaret Harrell, but she is known as Meg, and so we're going to be talking to her as Meg as we go on with this. But I'm gonna give you your strong title, Meg, but she's a senior social scientist at RAND, but actually she's the director of the Army Health Program. And so thank you for joining us, Meg.
It's my pleasure.
So, you know, with this 100,000 Jobs Mission and a little bit of background, Maureen, give a little background of the 100,000 Jobs Mission before we actually go into the report.
Sure. Thanks, Derek. 3.5 years ago, our CEO, Jamie Dimon, had the opportunity to listen to a Medal of Honor recipient talk about some of the challenges he and his fellow service members were having with regard to finding meaningful employment opportunities. And Jamie, along with 10 other CEOs, agreed that they could do something about that. And it was really from that conversation that the 100,000 Jobs Mission was born. And it was a commitment by these 11 companies to hire 100,000 veterans in 10 years or by 2020. And I'm very proud to say that we achieved that first goal of 100,000 hires 7 years ahead of schedule. Jamie challenged us to the next 100,000 hires at the end of 2013. And again, very proud and pleased to say that last week we announced that we've hired an additional 90,000 veterans, for more than 190,000 veterans hired in just under 4 years. And more significantly, the coalition of companies that have committed to hiring veterans has grown from those founding 11 partners to more than 175 companies, representing almost every industry in the American economy, and all in a very unique effort to focus on veteran employment. And as we have continued to grow the coalition, continued to learn from each other about what works with regard to veteran employment, we thought it was really important to capture what was working, capture lessons learned, and also to see where we might be able to do better, because we do strongly believe that the need for the private sector to focus on veteran employment is not going to go away anytime soon, and we can all benefit from a respected, a knowledgeable third party like RAND and like Dr. Harrell to focus on and learn from that. And so that was background on the mission and background on why we decided to support this independent third-party review of the 100,000 jobs mission?
You know, I was reading through the report, and it was quite interesting. We'll go in detail about it. But it talked about things that we know. I mean, veterans are leaders. Veterans have a number of different skills. But it also talked about one of the biggest challenges is still that dynamic of matching the military skills, the military jobs with civilian jobs and kind of matching that up. Is that kind of, and both of you kind of chime in, is that still seen as the number one challenge that we are facing right now, where people cannot relate their military jobs into civilian world?
That's what we heard from the companies. Derek, thank you for asking. And these are companies, you know, that because they belong to the coalition, the 100,000 jobs mission, these are companies that have already committed to hire veterans. And what we're finding is even within these companies that have made that commitment, that's probably their biggest challenge is understanding where to place veterans when they first see that resume. And many of these companies have hired or selected recruiters that are specially versed in veteran skills. So the recruiter knows where that veteran will fit best in the company. But then when that recruiter goes to the lower level manager that will be directly hands-on managing that veteran, it's that individual in the company that doesn't always understand what a veteran will bring to her work team.
Right. What have you seen, I mean, in terms of this kind of the third party, you know, independent research? I mean, have you seen that, you know, this has been a success, corporations getting involved and taking a pro, you know, a corporation like JP Morgan Chase taking the lead on these things? Has it been a success overall?
Well, I think the 100,000 jobs mission clearly is a success. They've reached their goal, as Maureen said, far sooner than they thought they would. And I think that's really interesting and a testament to the value of veteran employees. I think, you know, the 11 companies initially raised their hand and committed to this issue because it was an important social issue. But I think the fact that they were able to not only reach their goal, but reach a doubled goal in so few years really underscores the fact that it's not just an important social issue, but it's very good business to hire veterans.
You know, I was looking at the kind of the outcomes, and I wanted to touch on each one of them, and please both chime in. You know, continuing to educate managers of the value of veteran employees. Maureen, you know, is that something that JP Morgan Chase has kind of taken serious in terms of maybe an education program to educate employees of the value of veterans?
Absolutely, Derek, and very good point that you make. If we keep in mind that less than 1% of the population has volunteered to wear our nation's uniform, that leaves an awful lot of us that have not had exposure or experience to the military, to their training, to the valued skills that they can bring to our organizations. And as we talk about this process of helping veterans fit into our companies, it's our view at JP Morgan Chase that those of us who have not served also bear some responsibility to try to understand them as well. The burden shouldn't all fall to our veterans. And so we have developed some training programs here at JP Morgan Chase. One is called Military 101, which is a basic primer, if you will, on our military, the different branches of service, the difference between guard and reserve and active duty, things that are second nature to those of you who have served but don't necessarily come so easily to those of us who have not.
Right.
So we've built out these training programs. We've also done a series of what I'll call lunch and learns with our recruiters and our hiring managers, where we bring together veterans and non-veterans alike to talk about the valued skills, talk about the fit in our company, all in a way to try to educate and make our hiring managers and recruiters who may not necessarily fully appreciate what veterans bring to the table, appreciate those skills, know how to talk to them, all of those kinds of things. So we and other companies that are part of the coalition do a lot of that kind of work.
We're going to take a quick break. Meg, when we come back, I want to kind of go into the study, talk about the methodology, how you really went through and analyzed the data and really kind of analyzed what was going on to determine, what should be done better, what is being done right, what can we continue to improve on as we look at this long-term mission of making sure that veterans are hired and succeed after service. We're talking to Maureen Casey. She's the Managing Director of the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs at J.P. Morgan Chase. And we're also talking to Dr. Meg Harrell. She is Director of Army Health Program, Senior Social Scientist at RAND Corporation. They did a recent study on veteran employment, analyzing the 100,000 jobs mission, taking a look at it and really kind of seeing the success stories that's coming from it, but also some improvements that can be made in terms of veteran hiring across the board, not just with the 100,000 jobs mission, but all corporations, because we need to get everybody involved in this mission. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about in veterans employment. We've been talking about this for the whole month of November. We're going to keep on talking about it. Always an important issue. We want to make sure those who have served, those who have worn the uniform and protected our country, we want to make sure that they are always honored, but we also want to make sure they succeed after they have given their service to this country. Many have been in harm's way. All have decided that, hey, listen, I will make that sacrifice for the country to keep it safe and sound. And so we have to make sure that they succeed, whether it be in entrepreneurship or employment. We want to do those things. We're talking about this right now with Maureen Casey. She's the Managing Director of the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs at J.P. Morgan Chase. They're one of the founders of the 100,000 Jobs Mission. And I have Maureen kind of give the website and give a little bit more about that program shortly. But you can also just Google it, 100,000 Jobs Mission. They have been really focused in on with a number of partners. It started off with 11 organizations, but now it's built up to, I think, 175 companies who have been focused in on and still growing, focused in on hiring veterans. They're well past 100,000 jobs. They've been, I think they're 190 now, and I think they're going into the next phase of it. I'll let Maureen talk about that a little bit more. We're also talking to Dr. Meg Harrell. She is the director of the Army Health Program. She's a senior social scientist at RAND Corporation. They are the ones who did this study for J.P. Morgan Chase in order to really find out, is the program working? Is it successful? What can be done to improve it? Meg, when we were looking at certain things in terms of this study, what was your process in terms of really kind of breaking this program down and really find out, is it working effectively?
Well, we interviewed 26 companies, members of the coalition, and we really strove to include a range of companies. So the interviewees represent a range of different industries, different sizes of companies. They're geographically dispersed across our country. And then with each of those companies, we spoke to an individual in depth about what they're doing within their organization to recruit and hire veterans, how they're mentoring or developing them, and really what they're doing in their companies that are especially geared towards their veteran employees.
You know, with those interviews, you know, what were some of the kind of the top things you found out as you were going through and talking to these companies? And when you went into the companies, were you talking to a number of different people who dealt with the veteran issues? Well, how deep did you go?
Primarily, we were talking to the persons they identified as most expert in their internal efforts for veterans.
Okay. With all of that, when you talked to those people, what were some of the things? Was there anything surprising that you kind of came out? Were there any kind of, I didn't recognize that? What were some of the common themes that you heard?
Well, I think one of the surprising things to us was that, you know, these companies that have stepped up and volunteered for the coalition, even those that have been in the coalition since the very beginning, they often still face some challenges hiring veterans. At this point, they all recognize the value of doing so, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's an easy process, and it's something that these companies continue to work at.
You know, when you heard about that, the challenges of hiring veterans and kind of going into that, and, you know, I was looking at some of the results and some of the findings, allocating recruitment resources more strategically was one of the areas that you said companies need to continue to work on. What were you talking about when you said that?
So all of the companies that we spoke to participate in job fairs,
mm-hmm.
but all job fairs are not great use of resources. There's
okay.
some job fairs that are very good. And basically, in order to be very good, you need to permit companies the opportunity to screen resumes ahead of time. You need to ensure that all the companies there have real jobs that they're trying to fill. And then the job fair is actually a facilitated set of interviews where companies know who's coming to them. They've already scheduled the right people to be interviewing these veterans, and often they connect veterans with video technology back to the person that they should be talking to. But some job fairs are just companies with tables with much less orchestration of the connecting. I'm struggling with this one, Derek. Can I try it again?
Yeah.
So some job fairs do a better job of connecting veterans with companies that are hiring for specific positions and give companies the opportunity in advance to schedule interviews with those veterans to review their materials and ensure that they make the best time of that job fair day.
You know, with all of that, and Maureen, you've seen this from a dynamic because you've worked with it in corporate America and looking at those pieces, and both of you, and you probably saw this, Meg, with your research. You know, job fairs are kind of that easy, it's an easy thing to do. You know, like, hey, we're going to sign up for the job fair. And you just mentioned something really, really important that I always hear, Meg, is that people, you know, they'll go to job fairs, people have tables, but no one's, you know, people feel like it's a waste of time. You know, they're talking to the recruiter seems kind of disconnected, you know, it's kind of like a black hole that you're going into, and so people don't really feel like they get anything from it. What I'm hearing, and both chime in, is that really kind of changing the nature of the job fair and making it a lot of the pre-screening, you know, inviting people to come out and say, we've got these positions that are geared for you, and it's almost more of a, like a hiring fair than just a kind of a job fair where people are just going to tables.
Right. Envision how much more rewarding it is to the veteran if they know in advance which tables at the job fair they're going to, which jobs they're going to be hiring or interviewing for, and who they're going to be speaking with.
Right. Maureen, how is
that? And I will say, from the employer perspective, not only is it more rewarding for the veteran who is there in search of a meaningful job opportunity, but for a company like J.P. Morgan Chase or other companies that are part of the coalition, they have limited resources in terms of participating in these kinds of events. So mm-hmm. they like to look at those kinds of events where, at the end of the day, there's a meaningful conversion from applicant to hire. And Meg described the process that has worked very well for J.P. Morgan Chase, which is, here's our targeted jobs. Here's the skill sets that we're looking for. Let's try to drive to participation for veterans that have those kinds of skill sets, pre-screen those resumes, and then actually have almost, you know, mini interviews at these events.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversion rates are much, much higher, and it's a better experience all the way around for both employers and for veterans that are seeking opportunities.
You know, when we look at certain pieces, another thing that was brought out is, you know, looking at federal resources. I know the VA has gotten kind of the rap of saying, hey, listen, and me as a veteran, you know, I know that there's value within the VA. VA has gotten some complaints here and there. But are we saying that, you know, that there needs to be more of a partnership between the private sector and the federal sector in doing this? Is that what we're saying with this?
Absolutely. And it's not just the VA, because
okay.
in the best cases, companies start to communicate with service members who have already said that they're going to leave the service.
Okay.
They don't wait until they're veterans. And so the complication on the veteran landscape or on the federal landscape is that really the veterans are still under the purview of DOD when they should start talking to these companies. But then they come under the purview of the VA, you know, and during this process.
Right.
DOD, the VA, and the Department of Labor have all joined forces to ensure that this process for service members becoming veterans works as smoothly as possible.
Derek, that also the branches of the military service, like the Marine Corps and Marine for Life and
mm-hmm.
the Army and Soldier for Life, they too are starting to reach out in a much greater fashion to the private sector to figure out how we can partner more effectively in that handoff between being a Marine or a soldier or an airman and being a civilian? And how can we all work together better? So I think that, as Meg pointed out in the report, that there's clearly opportunities for us to collaborate better and for the private sector to take advantage of some of the resources and programs in a more meaningful and comprehensive way. But I think that since we've been involved in this over the course of the last couple of years, we've seen a great deal of improvement in the partnerships between Soldier for Life, the Army, and J.P. Morgan Chase and the 100,000 Jobs Mission, or the other federal agencies that Meg mentioned in terms of the VA, the Department of Labor, and DOD.
You know, as DOD and Labor and VA, are you having more conversations with them? Are they starting to get it? I mean, I know there used to be kind of a little bit of a pushback here and there, and there was always a concern that, bringing, in private companies and everything else, that we don't want to bring them on base, we don't want to do this, that, and the other. Are those conversations dead now, and are they really, really kind of saying, listen, we really need your help in order to get these veterans hired? What's the landscape right now?
I would say from the employer's perspective, the landscape is good. And
okay.
I think to Meg's point that there's clearly opportunity for us to do better.
Okay.
But I think that the doors are open, the conversations are happening, and the question is, how do we do the work around some of these obstacles to try and get to transitioning service members sooner, and also at the same time trying to get to those veterans that are in our communities who have left and potentially weren't necessarily looking for a job when they left the military, but they're back home and, you know, reacquainted with friends and family, taking care of those kinds of things, and are now saying, okay, what do I do next, and how do we reach those folks as well?
You know, Meg, when you looked at this, I mean, you made some recommendations for DOD and you kind of broke it down. I want to kind of go into this in the next segment, because you made recommendations for DOD on DOL and Department of Veteran Affairs. And then you also made recommendations for the 100,000 Jobs Mission. I want to really talk about the different recommendations that you're making for each, because these conversations seem to need to be had. It seems like there's a lot of improvement, but it seems like there's a lot more that we can do in order to really kind of make this thing where it's a seamless process. And Meg, let me just ask this before we take a break. Are you not seeing a seamless process? Is it still a bumpy road with the process?
It's a little bit of a bumpy road.
Okay.
It's improved tremendously from what it was a few years ago, but it's still a little bumpy.
Okay. I want to talk about this when we come back. We're talking to Maureen Casey. She's the Managing Director of Office of Military and Veteran Affairs at J.P. Morgan Chase. They run the 100,000 Jobs Mission. They're one of the founders of, they are the founders of it with 11 other companies, but now it has grown. Maureen, give them the website for the 100,000 Jobs Mission.
So thanks, Derek. It is jobsmission.com. And as you said, if you Google the 100,000 Jobs Mission, though, you will get to it, but it is jobsmission.com.
Jobsmission.com. I'm assuming they probably had to change that 100,000 Jobs Mission at some point, million Jobs Mission or 2 million Jobs Mission or something. I'm just going to put it out there, Maureen. But we're going to change as we continue focusing on it. We're also talking to Dr. Meg Harrell. She is the director of the Army Health Program at RAND. She's a senior social scientist, and she was the main person on this research looking at veteran employment and analyzing the 100,000 Jobs Mission. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about veteran issues. We are talking about veteran employment. We're talking about the 100,000 Jobs Mission. We're talking about an analysis of the 100,000 Jobs Mission. What has been working? What has been effective? What can we improve on? What can we do for the future in order to make sure that all veterans are making the transition and making the correct transition into society after they've done their service? Affairs. We're talking to Maureen Casey. She is the Managing Director of the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs at J.P. Morgan Chase. J.P. Morgan Chase was the founder of the 100,000 Jobs Mission. You can find them at jobsmission.com, but you can also Google it at 100,000 Jobs Mission. But they're the founders. 11 other companies joined with them to find this, and now I think 175 companies are involved in terms of hiring veterans, and more. They welcome more to be a part of it. There are a number of initiatives that are out there to really get veterans going into the private sector and other sectors. We're also talking to Dr. Meg Harrell. She is director of the Army Health Program at RAND Corporation. She's a senior social scientist, and she was one of the main people with her team working on doing the research and analyzing the 100,000 Jobs Mission, seeing how effective it has been, and then going from there. When we looked at this for DOD, for Department of Labor, for Department of Veteran Affairs, one area that you talked about was facilitating these on-base access for private sector recruiting events. I think, Meg, that was kind of going into what you were saying before, is that, you know, getting in there early, not just waiting until a person's out of the door, but getting in there well before that time. Is there a certain time that you find in your research that's a better effective time rather than maybe waiting 6 months before transition? Should it be 2 years before transition, or what did you see?
It's really difficult to do it much more than 6 months or so before transition,
okay,
because at 2 years before transition, a lot of service members don't know that they're leaving.
Right.
And even if they do know, at that point, the service interests are really that soldier, sailor, airman, or marine focus on doing their uniform job well at that point. It's as that departure point approaches that the service member has more of an opportunity to start thinking about what's going to happen in their civilian life and what sort of employment they might be seeking.
You know, you talked about in here about the Veterans Employment Center and kind of getting people involved in that and Skills Bridge and other programs. What's that all about?
Well, the Veterans Employment Center is actually an online tool that veterans can self-volunteer for and put their information in, and that employers can access to see veterans, or actually at that point service members that will be veterans, that they might hire in the future. So it's a registry of sorts online that can connect future veteran employees with the companies that might hire them.
And with all of that, with the Skills Bridge, I mean, we're also kind of talking about this training dynamic of maybe training either military service members or veterans maybe in advance of certain skills. Is that what we're looking at?
Right. So Skill Bridge is a really exciting program. It's relatively new, and it's an opportunity for companies to either train or take in a service member, because at that point they're still uniformed, in an internship. Mm-hmm. So this is while they're still in military service, and they're, you know, as they're reaching the point where they would leave the service, and it gives them an opportunity in some cases to obtain very valuable training that they can use on the job market broadly, but it also gives companies an opportunity to try out that person that might be a good employee for them.
You know, there's one thing, and I've talked about this in a number of different ways. I know when I was in the Marine Corps and kind of, you know, came out and hit the TAP program and everything else, everybody kind of talks about the military skills translators and other things like that. Has there been, and I don't know if you found this in your research, has there been kind of more awareness of kind of like helping a veteran or helping someone transitioning to do a lot of more self-assessment? I always kind of give the story of that in the military, you know, skills translator, you know, I was in the combat side. I was an 0311 in the infantry side of the Marine Corps. But if you go into the military skills translator, it would say that, you know, you should go into security or police or things like that, which are very, very valuable and needed careers. But it doesn't have in there, hey, radio host. It doesn't have in there entrepreneur or something like that. Is there a disconnect sometimes between kind of helping a veteran self-assess and then also kind of translating those skills?
There has been, and you raised the perfect example. If your job was focused on your use of your weapon in the military, then when you get out, shouldn't you seek a job that's focused on the use of a weapon? And the answer, obviously, is that veterans have skills far beyond the use of their weapon.
Right.
And so there's more of an effort now to start to recognize and to ask veterans questions like, how many people did you lead and manage? You know, what size teams did you work on? What was the value of the equipment that you were responsible eligible for, to get an idea of some of these other skill sets that they developed, the responsibility and the management. And some of the companies we spoke to, for example, said that one of the best things that veterans bring to them is customer service capabilities, that their interpersonal skills are really strong, and that a lot of veterans don't know to characterize themselves as customer service experts.
You know, I mean, in industries like banking and other sectors, I mean, those areas are strong. Maureen, what have you seen with your programs in terms of kind of the wide spectrum of veterans coming in and out? Is it really about the translatable skill, or is it really about that, you know what, we can train that person, but we value your leadership, we value your customer service skills, we value some of the characteristics you bring to the table?
So I would echo Meg's comments that we've seen an evolution, if you will, in how we look at the valued skills that veterans bring to our companies, that it is those kinds of things that you spoke about in terms of customer service, leadership, mission focus, the ability to be agile and adaptable, to be able to function in a high-stress environment, to be able to multitask, all of those kinds of things that are very hard to teach in the corporate setting, but they already come to the table with those skills very well in hand, and we can then teach them some of the more technical skills. But we at JP Morgan Chase, just as an example, I mean, we're hiring across our organization, so in all of our lines of business at all levels, but more than 75% of the veterans that we've hired in the last 3.5 years have come out of the enlisted ranks. So we've successfully made that transition to translate those valued skills. And I think you were right, Derek, to say, you know, we need to move away from the skills translator kind of programs that were forcing veterans into certain job categories and taking a few steps back and looking at a broader skill set. So I think whether it's JP Morgan Chase or other companies that are part of the coalition, they're certainly doing that now.
That's outstanding to hear, and I love to hear that. You know, when I look at it, you guys also mentioned about improving the TAP program. I know that's something that's been a conversation. I know it's a conversation I've had many for years in terms of, you know, how do you improve the transition assistance program to make it more effective for service members and everything else? And you always hear that complaint. Meg, was there something that was, hey, this is what we need to do to TAP? Did something come out of this?
Those conversations are continuing, and, you know, TAP has improved so much since probably when you experienced it. But there's still room for improvement there. And, you know, that's a joint effort between the three federal agencies, DOD, DOL, and the VA. And they're aware both of how far they've come, but also of the improvements that they might still make.
That's outstanding. You know, you looked at also the 100,000 jobs mission and one of the areas, and both you chime in on this, about instituting an advisory board of coalition members, you know, something to reflect the diversity of membership. Where were you going with that? I mean, is that something that's going to be happening, or is that, Meg, you know, what's going to be happening with those?
Well, I think that's up to the coalition. Maureen, do you want to speak to that?
Sure. So we have, I think when we started the 100,000 jobs mission, and as someone who's been there from the beginning, we couldn't have contemplated the fact that we would have grown to more than 175 companies at this point. But I think it's a testament to the subject matter that we're focused on, and that being veteran employment, and the fact that we continue to offer value to the companies in terms of participating in a coalition like this. So we're certainly going to be looking at all of the recommendations that the RAND report makes with regard to enhancing our operations. But we have already done some of those kinds of things informally, like pulling together companies, a handful of companies, and saying, hey, listen, we have a coalition meeting coming up. What are some of the key topics that we should be focused on? And so we're going to be looking at taking some of those things that we've been doing informally and implementing them in a more organized fashion.
I saw another interesting piece that said, consider industry-based coalition subgroups. What was that about? Is that kind of breaking things down by sectors?
Well, one of the really interesting things that we saw in the coalition is that companies that are otherwise business competitors, in the context of veteran employment, they share. Hmm. They share their processes. They share names of veteran candidates. If one company receives a resume that looks really strong, but they just don't have a place for that person right now, they'll actually hand it over to a company that is one of their competitors.
Okay.
And so this interaction we found so interesting, and the members told us that this was really rewarding. So we suggested that the coalition formalize this a little bit and give these companies more of an opportunity to interact in this way.
Now, we got to take a quick break. I want to come back into that. Maureen, I want you to chime in on this and kind of talk about, is there a way in which, you know, is that encouraged amongst the 100,000 jobs mission that, you know, people do exchange ideas and you know, is that a process that's also trying to be enhanced with the 100,000 jobs mission or other people in which they share those veterans and say, hey, I don't have anything, but maybe you have something. We want to talk about that after we come back from the break. We're talking to Maureen Casey. She is the managing director of the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs at J.P. Morgan Chase. They were the founder of the 100,000 Jobs Mission. You can find it at jobsmission.com. They're the ones who kind of kicked this thing off and then had a number of companies join them in the mission to hire veterans, in the new mission to hiring veterans and get them on the right track after their service. We're also talking to Dr. Meg Harrell. She is director of the Army Health Program at RAND Corporation. She's also a senior she's a senior social scientist. She is the leader of this report right here. Her and her team wrote this report on veteran employment, looking at the 100,000 jobs mission and analyzing it in terms of the success stories coming out of it, but also what can we do to improve some things. We'll be right back after this break. We'll keep this conversation going about veterans. You're listening to Fed Access on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about veterans. We're talking about veteran employment. We're talking about the 100,000 jobs mission. You can find it at jobsmission.com. We're talking about a recent report done by RAND that really focused in on analyzing the 100,000 jobs mission. We're talking to Maureen Casey. She is the managing director of the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs at J.P. Morgan Chase. They were the founder of the 100,000 jobs mission. Now they have 175 companies and the growing companies that are out there. Every company's represented, from some of the biggest ones in our nation to some of the smallest. But they're out there, you know, working to hire veterans. We're also talking to Dr. Meg Harrell. She's known as Margaret, but we call her Meg on the show right now because, you know, we're all friends on the show and everything else. But she's the director of the Army Health Program at RAND Corporation. She's a senior social scientist, and she was the lead of this program in terms of analyzing the veterans' employment mission at J.P. Morgan Chase with the 100,000 jobs mission. And her and her team analyzed and did a great job looking at this report. Meg, where can they find the report in terms of if somebody wanted to read this and grab it? Is it at the 100,000 jobs mission site? Is it on the RAND site? Where can they find it?
I believe it's at both places.
Okay.
So they can reach it at the 100,000 jobs mission site. They can also reach it at www.rand.org.
If they do a keyword search on like veteran employment, will it just come up, or is it going to be in one of the recent areas?
It should.
Okay.
For now, it's under recent areas, but
okay.
They also should be able to reach it with a simple search.
Outstanding. You know, looking at continuously analyzing the 100,000 jobs mission, and we talked about considering industry-based coalition subgroups. Maureen, are you seeing that happening more where, you know, sectors will say, we're in construction, we're in banking, we'll share this information? Is that happening informal, or is it trying to be formalized now?
So right now, it is happening informally. In
okay.
fact, at some of our recent coalition meetings, we've actually done working groups or working lunch groups to bring these various industries together. So pharmaceutical industry had a subgroup, the transportation folks had a subgroup, finance had a subgroup. And to Meg's point, it really was focused on not only sharing individual talent, but here's the profile of talent that may work for a manufacturing position, for example, or here's where we had some really great success at a hiring event at this particular military base because of the nature of the talent that is transitioning out. So it is definitely our intention to formalize those industry-based groups as we go forward.
And another piece of this was kind of saying provide a formal orientation and guidance session for new members. People have less experience with veteran employment. What was that about, Meg?
Well, we heard from some companies that there was a range of proficiency in the member companies, mm-hmm. which is not surprising, that not everybody, not all these companies can be as proficient on day one of their veteran employment effort as the J.P. Morgan Chases are, who have had a bit of a head start. And so we suggested a formal orientation and a guidance session that would bring some of these new members up to speed separately.
You know, when you look at that, is it kind of almost like the military one-on-one dynamic that Marine talked about that J.P. Morgan Chase is doing, or is it more?
Well, I think it's that plus more. I think it's some of those best practices from companies, some of the hurdles and challenges that companies commonly confront in their early days of doing this, and how different companies have approached these issues.
We know that J.P. Morgan Chase has been a leader on this. Did you see some other companies who were, you know, really who you said, hey, listen, they're on the right track. They should be a benchmark company along with J.P. Morgan Chase?
So I think one of the things that we have tried to do, particularly at our 100,000 Jobs Mission Coalition mm-hmm. meetings, is to highlight companies and their leading practices. So for the last two meetings, we've profiled 20 different companies that have various practices. And I think to Meg's point, companies are at different points of development in terms of their veteran employment programs.
Mm-hmm.
So some are really strong on sourcing and hiring. Some have been very strong on their onboarding practices for veterans. Others are really strong on retention programs, developing veteran networking groups, for example. So to Meg's point, we have an orientation or an onboarding program that we do already for new members, but our plan is to enhance that program to certainly address some of the things that was pointed out in the RAND report around the best practices, the hurdles, the challenges, and really make it more of a value document to our new companies.
You know, I was looking at the other piece. It's also talked about kind of providing veteran employment information to non-members. And one thing I think we talked about this last time is that there doesn't, and you just kind of mentioned it too, Meg, that there doesn't seem a competition in terms, although, you know, companies may be competing in terms of the marketplace, but the competition stops when it talks about veteran employment. Is that something that is ongoing about sharing this information to companies? You don't have to be part of the mission in order to get this information?
That's absolutely correct. I spend a great deal of my time working with companies that are not part of the coalition. The idea, the fundamental idea here is how do we create opportunities to connect veterans to meaningful employment opportunities? So we have no vested interest here. We would love companies to join the coalition. We think that there's value in the coalition in terms of what they can learn and how they can accelerate companies' programs around veteran employment. But that certainly isn't a prerequisite to get access to the information. You've mentioned it a couple of times, Derek. The jobsmission.com website has some leading practices already there, and that's available to anyone. But I do conversations all the time with companies who say, we want to start a veteran employment program. Can you just spend a few minutes talking to us about what you're doing at J.P. Morgan Chase
right.
and what you've seen as elements of a successful program from some of your member companies in the coalition? So absolutely complete transparency when it comes to this kind of information.
Meg, veteran performance. I saw a part in the research about the performance of veterans. What did you find in the research?
Well, when we ask companies about how veteran employees perform, the answers are all positive.
Okay.
But when we push a little bit harder and ask how companies know that, typically their answers are based anecdotally rather than on actual performance data or, you know, in-house evaluations. And this is really a double-edged sword because one of our concerns and the reason we raise this point in the report is that right now the companies in the coalition, for example, are spending resources pursuing veteran employment. All the companies are committed to this. As times get a little bit more difficult and as the issue of veteran employment sort of fades from public attention, we thought it worthwhile for companies to have data that actually proves their perception that veterans are strong employees.
Okay.
The other side of the sword, though, is that veteran employees really often don't want to be treated differently. They don't want to be tracked separately. They want to just be a contributing member of, you know, their company. So this is not an easy answer. In the perfect world, yes, there would be performance data and retention data proving what these companies already know. But we understand the veteran perspective as well.
You know, with all of that, and you mentioned a good point about, you know, not being tracked differently. When it looks at a retention, I know there's another area. Some people had been concerned about veteran retention. Are we seeing that retention is strong when a veteran leaves and goes into another place?
Well, we're seeing in general that veterans retain similarly to other employees. For companies that have data. Some companies believe that their veterans retain and stay at their company at higher rates, but this sort of actual data numbers is fairly rare.
You know, with all of that, Maureen, is there a push by members of the coalition to say, we want to make sure we retain these veterans once we get them in the door? What are you hearing?
Absolutely. It's a focus for us at JPMorgan Chase and certainly a focus of the member companies of the coalition. We know the valued skills that they bring to us and that we want to keep them for the long term. We know that that's what's best for our company and best for our business. And so we at JPMorgan Chase are focused on retention. As I mentioned previously, we're looking at employee networking groups. We're looking at mentorship programs. We're looking at surveys. We do surveys of our newly hired veterans or veterans that self-identify and say, hey, listen, what can we do with regard to your onboarding experience or to make your experience as an employee here at JPMorgan Chase better? And many other companies are doing the same thing. I think, as Meg said, many of us were very focused on how do we source, how do we hire military talent. And now that our programs on that front end of the employment continuum are robust, we're now focused on, now that we have them, let's make sure we keep them.
Outstanding. Thank you, ladies, for, you know, just really providing some insight. You can find the report on jobsmission.com in the latest news section. I'm looking at it right now. It talks about the new RAND Corporation report, details the successful approaches of the 100,000 jobs mission. But you can download the report, 50-something pages, an easy read, but it has some great insight. Meg, you and your team did an outstanding job, and we really appreciate the insights you provided in the report. We've been talking to Maureen Casey, Managing Director of the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs at JPMorgan Chase. They're the ones who founded the 100,000 Jobs Mission. Again, you can find the site at jobsmission.com. They want more employers to be involved in this. They want veterans to know about, hey, listen, there are companies out here who want to hire you. You can find these companies at jobsmission.com. Dr. Meg Harrell, she's Director of the Army Health Program at RAND Corporation. She's a senior social scientist. They're the ones who did the lead on this, and I hope this report is not the end of it. I hope we're going to keep on analyzing this thing and continue to implement these improvements. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Derek. Enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.